Are any of you thinking of starting a podcast? If so, you should definitely look into using Anchor. For starters, it's free. There's also creation tools that allow you to record and edit your podcast right from your phone or computer. Anchor will also distribute your podcast for you so it can be heard on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, and so many more. You can also make money from your podcast with no minimum listenership. It's everything you need for a podcast in one place. So go ahead and download the free Anchor app or go to anchor.fm to get started. Let's get back to the show.
It's wintertime. We got practice at like 6 o'clock in the morning, 6:30 in the morning. Me and three of our other friends, we done met up. Now we going to go get poop. Knock on his door. His mom, Brenda, come to the door. He gone already. But mind you, he had broke his arm. So he you know what I mean? He was just going to go watch practice. Mm-hmm. So we like, man, we don't know where yet. So we getting ready to walk towards the school. And we had to walk past our neighborhood park to get to Randolph.
Right.
So we walk past Murray. In the wintertime, Putin been out there. He didn't shovel the box out. And he out there shooting left-hand jump shots in the wintertime. And to me, you know, because I love basketball, but he knew this is what he was put on this earth to do. Me, I was just like, I was having fun with it. I was kicking it. I was good. We was having success. I was getting girls. You know what I mean? Like all those things. For him, it was so much bigger. So them, my two stories with him is the fact that, you know, no matter what was going on, he always in sixth grade, he knew what it was that he wanted to do. And I promise you, from that moment to the last moment in the last game that I played with him to every time that I see him work out in the summer, it's the same mindset, same dedication to his craft, though, no lie. That's my two stories.
A lot of people say that they want it. That's one. Like, we know how cold a Chicago winter is. And to be out there early in the morning at that with a broken arm, bro, like youngest MVP ever. We see that.
Yeah.
We don't know all the stories like that behind it. But
right.
That's wild.
What's up, y'all? Today we got a special guest on the show, a Simeon legend. I mean, he averaged 18, 10, two state titles, a three-time city champion, all-state selection. What's up, Tim, man? How you feeling? Thanks for joining us.
Appreciate y'all for having me, bro. It's a blessing to be able to sit here and have a conversation with y'all for real. Yes, love sir. Everything y'all got going on.
Yep, appreciate it. Yep. Yeah. You know, we always start off by asking, you know, who put the ball in your hand, and where did your love for the game come from?
I'm a little different than everybody, bro, in the sense of I ain't started playing basketball until I was in sixth grade. Going into my sixth grade year before that, I played football, and I was just bad in the neighborhood. But Derek and all our friends from the neighborhood, they was doing cool stuff. The girls liked them because they was doing basketball stuff. So I started realizing, like, you know, you're doing the wrong things. You're involved in the wrong things. So I started hooping. My coach at Randolph, Mr. Smith, got me going. He put the ball in my hand. And then that first year at Randolph, my very first year playing basketball, we won the city championship.
It's crazy.
So after that moment, it was just like, you know, this is what I need to be doing from here on out.
Man. Sure.
We can talk a little bit off air. It's crazy you saying the first year you played basketball, you won a city championship. We just talked off air about like how, you know, you won consistently at Simeon as a player, then came back as a coach and did basically the same thing. So I guess that's just in your blood, huh?
Yeah. I mean, a lot of people don't know, bro. You know what I mean? I take pride in that, though. That's down there like the Spurs, you know, like they take pride in being a winning organization. I'm thankful that through my basketball career, even the years prior to me coming to Simeon, my team won a city championship 3 years in a row from 6th, 7th, 8th grade. And then we also won every AAU state championship. So by the time I got to Simeon, it was just like, this is what we supposed to do in my mind. So I still get that demeanor now as a coach. If I'm hooping against 35-year-old guys now, 33-year-old guys now, I still feel like if I'm on the court, I'm supposed to win.
Yep, absolutely. So, I mean, you grew up in Inglewood, you know, one of the toughest neighborhoods in Chicago, for the listeners that don't know. And how has that motivated you, you know, both on and off the court?
Man, bro, a lot of people don't know. Like, my backstory is so crazy. You know, a lot of people see who I am today and they don't know what put me in a position to be this way. Like, my father was killed when I was in sixth grade. You know what I mean? Like, he was killed in Madison, Wisconsin, gang banging, drug dealing. Some guys killed him. My mom had me when she was like 14 years old. Mm. So it was like I had all of these different things. And basketball was always like that safe haven for me. It was able to kind of what I use it for now. I got to go relieve stress. Mm-hmm. I got to use it as a coping mechanism. It's always been those things for me. So me growing up in Inglewood did nothing but prepare me to be able to be a tough basketball player, but then also to be a leader, because I was a leader in my community way before I became a leader in basketball. Everybody in my community, for the most part, that was my age, followed behind me, and all the older guys treated me like I was their age in a sense. So those things molded me to be who I am today and who I was, you know, when I was playing.
You know, let's transition into high school basketball. You know, for you, you went to Simeon, of course, and that's no matter where I go around the country, if I mention like Simeon, they're like, oh, yeah, that's cool. This is probably just naming pros, really enough pros. So why Simeon for you, and what was that time like? You know, playing for Simeon back in the day.
Simeon for me, we chose because we played with Ferrari. I don't know if y'all are familiar.
Of course.
And when we played with Ferrari, we started playing with them in sixth grade. And Randall Hampton was playing with Ferrari at the time. Brian Norridge was playing with Ferrari. Daniel Green was playing. So we had a few guys that we knew that was already playing with Ferrari, and they were either on their way to Simeon or they were already at Simeon.
Okay.
And then I'm not going to say the school name, but we had another school that we were really, because me and Derek lived right down the street from each other. And my mother and my grandmother was kind of like, wherever his mama say y'all going, that's where y'all going to go, because my family didn't know basketball. His family is a basketball family. So it was this one coach that we thought we was going to go there, but he sent somebody to pick us up to go work out. And when they pulled up in front of Derek mama's house, they opened the van and all this smoke came out. Mm-hmm. It was doing what they wasn't supposed to be doing.
Right.
His mama was like, no, y'all ain't going there. Like, that's but when she said that, it kind of like opened the gates for us to be able to go to Simeon. And, what that 4 years was like, man, I was just set out. We had like a alumni thing the other night, and I was having a conversation with Deshaun Walker, who played at Simeon like 3 or 4 years before I did, all city, all state guy. And he was telling me his quarrels with Simeon and why he feel away. And I was like, bro, I don't get that. That 4 years, and not even just basketball. Like, yeah, basketball was cool. Mm-hmm. But the family atmosphere that I had in Simeon with my peers, though, not just basketball players, mm-hmm. the football players, the girls, the guys, just that family atmosphere and the way that they supported us, the way that they was behind us, the way that if I needed food, it was family that I was feeding. If I needed anything. So that 4 years for me, man, and one more thing I'm going to say to that is I learned how to be a man at Simeon. I ain't had no father figure. So it was Coach Rob, Coach Alderson, Coach Dante, Coach Chick, you know, Thomas. It was all these people that kind of like grabbed me and showed me what it was like to be a father, to be a man, to be a leader.
Yeah.
So like I was saying, that 4 years for me, man, when I look back over my life over 32 years, out of all the BS, out of all the great times, I singled that 4 years out and say, man, that was the most important part of my life. And it was one of the best moments and best times of my life for real, though.
Yeah. And now looking back that you said that, Tim, Simeon definitely does a great job of having that family atmosphere, that togetherness. Definitely. Like even, you know, my mom just going to the games, being with all the parents, wearing the gear, like it's you feel that support, you know, at Simeon. That's a great point.
Yeah.
But you know, how was it playing with not only one of your best friends, but you know, one of the best hoopers Chicago has ever seen, D. Rowe?
Yeah. Man, that was it's crazy because even right now when we talk about him, and obviously he's had like a lot of success, right? Mm-hmm. But it's like that's still Poo, that's still folks, mm-hmm. you know, like that's still one of the guys, you know.
Right. But,
for me, it felt good because I knew like what when I used to look at it, because you know, even though I'd be like the leading scorer or something, right? Mm-hmm. The articles would be about him. Mm-hmm. We never had that. Like, I never cared because it was like, if he on, I'm on.
You know? Right. Like, yeah.
It was always good for me because that was always my, that's always been like my brother. Mm-hmm. So I wanted the best for him and he wanted the best for me. And I felt like as long as I came to the table and did what I was supposed to do, be tough, rebound, score around the rim, do those things every day, we was going to always have a chance to win. And then, like I said, going back to sixth grade, because he was playing with the fifth and sixth graders in fourth grade. You know what I mean? Yeah. He was playing with the high school kids in fifth and sixth grade at the park. So we kind of knew. Mm-hmm. But then when we got together and we started winning and we started experiencing, and for him, he had traveled a little bit prior. Bro, basketball, playing with him was the first time I ever left the city. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? So it was always those experiences. Like, I was experiencing things with him as if he was my brother. And then on the other side of it, when we got on the court, it was just like, this, again, this is what we're supposed to do. We just here to get a win and go about our business and go kick and have fun. So that was a blessing, though, to have that experience, to see him and see his growth from sixth grade, fifth grade, fourth grade, all the way to now who he is, man. It's been an unbelievable ride, though.
I know that that's crazy. you have any stories about you and D Rose that you could share?
As far as, like, what kind? Because it's a lot of them.
I mean, let's get a off the court story, y'all. You know, just hanging out, being, you know, best friends.
Man, so it kind of go on the court. Mm-hmm. So I remember, man, we used to have moments. So I was, again, I was in the hood. I was kicking it, partying. I wanted to be around the guys, be around the girls. And I remember one time, man, we was at Murray, and who had been with us for the most part all day. Mm-hmm. And towards the end of the night, I'm like, man, I'm about to go over here on this block, on one of the blocks over there by our neighborhood. I'm about to go to this party over here with folks. And this is just how I'm talking. Mm-hmm. And this is it's two parts to it. This is one of the two moments where I knew he was going to be who he is. It's like late at night. We've been kicking. He's like, Jim, I'm about to go to the gym. Mm-hmm. I'm going to the gym. I'm like, you tweaking. You know what I mean? Like, we already winning. We can't. I mean, like, ain't nobody beating us, you know? So. Yeah. But it was just his mindset. It was just like, I'm trying to do something bigger. And then the second part to that story is taking it back to sixth grade. We had practice. It's the wintertime. I always tell kids this. If you want to talk about you want to make it, I'm probably the wrong person that you want to talk to that about, because I seen somebody that wanted it. It's wintertime. We got practice at like 6 o'clock in the morning, 6:30 in the morning. Me and three of our other friends, we done met up. Now we going to go get poop. Knock on his door, his mom, Brenda, come to the door. He gone already. But mind you, he had broke his arm. So he you know what I mean? He was just going to go watch practice. Mm-hmm. So we like, man, we don't know where yet. So we getting ready to walk towards the school. And we had to walk past our neighborhood park to get to Randolph.
Right.
So we walk past Murray. In the wintertime, Putin been out there. He done shoveled the box out. And he out there shooting left-hand jump shots in the wintertime. Mm. And to me, you know, because I love basketball, but he knew this is what he was put on this earth to do.
Yeah.
Mm. Me, I was just like, I was having fun with it. I was kicking it. I was good. We was having success. I was getting girls. You know what I mean? Like all those things. For him, it was so much bigger. So them, my two stories with him is the fact that, you know, no matter what was going on, he always in sixth grade, he knew what it was that he wanted to do. And I promise you, from that moment to the last moment in the last game that I play with him, to every time that I see him work out in the summer, it's the same mindset, same dedication to his craft, though, no lie. That's my two stories.
A lot of people said that they wanted, that's wanting. Like, we know how cold a Chicago winter is. And to be out there early in the morning at that with a broken arm, bro, like, youngest MVP ever. We see that.
Yeah.
We don't know all the stories like that behind it. But
right.
That's wild.
Yeah, it's like other people was training to play on the team or to get a few stats, but he was training to be the greatest. Like, you know what I'm saying? Like, it was just different. Yeah. But, you know, me, you, and Bryce, you know, we were in similar situations, being that, you know, we were the X factor, you know, on our winning teams, but we necessarily weren't the ones or the players, you know, getting highlighted on the team as much. You know, what advice do you have for student athletes that's maybe in those same situations?
Man, what I learned about this game, bro, is that everybody got a role. Right. And it's okay to play your role, but your job and your responsibility as whatever role it is to maximize your potential in that role, right? So I argue with people all the time, because for me, I don't care about how good you are. It's about if you win or not. So I look at somebody like Rob Ojori. No, he might not be a top 100 player of all time, but he should be a Hall of Famer. He got 7 championships. You don't just win championships. Those things just don't happen. You have to have a drive. You have to have a commitment. in a team mindset where everybody is willing. If your job is to assist and play defense, you got to be able to do that every night. So my message to all young kids is, no matter what your role is, from the best player to the guy on the bench, if you're on the bench, your job is to try to be the loudest, to be the biggest supporter so that coach hear you, so that at that moment when he like, man, who can I just throw out there? He's always hearing you, so you're the one that's going to automatically pop in his head. Mm. If you are a guy that's a six man, every time your number is called, be prepared to go in and do whatever your job is. You know, so that's how I look at basketball is, yeah, we can all get in the gym and try to be the greatest player of all time and the best player of all time. That's perfectly fine. Mm-hmm. But when it all boils down to it, there are only so many superstars in the NBA.
Yep.
But how many Ronnie Brewers, how many Ersan Ilyasovas, how many guys like that are there in the NBA? Bismack Biyombo gets paid $20 million a year to block shots and rebound.
Mm.
So he maximized his efforts. He maximized mm-hmm. his ability in that role. And he got rewarded for it. So that's always my message. Find out what you can do to contribute to your team to win, and try to make sure you can do everything that you possibly can in that role to make sure you can, that y'all can succeed.
Yeah. And I mean, with social media being so prevalent in today's era, you know, it's easy to get caught up in the highlights, the hype. And I feel like the Fred Van Fleets, like you said, the Kyle Lowry's, you know, they get lost in the shuffle, but play a huge factor in why, you know, championship teams need them, you know, players yeah. like them. Yeah. And, you know, Coach Rob said it, like, you were undersized but tough. And, you know, you were the vocal, you know, leader on the team. So that just speaks volume, you know, to why y'all won so much, man.
I mean, even when you look at it, bro, like, when you played at MP, y'all won championships. Y'all didn't just win it because it was somebody scoring 30. It was cool. Somebody scoring 30, but you needed somebody that was going to get some stops. You needed somebody that was going to do all of these different things. And for me, when I look at it, that's what I found out early on. Like, all right, bro, your only job is to rebound and wait for Pooh to pass you the ball and make layups. And no lie, though. But the more and more I did it, and the more and more I felt comfortable in doing that, the better I got.
Yep.
Right? And the better I got, the more opportunities I got. The more opportunities I got, the better I was able to look on the court for myself. Mm-hmm. Now they throwing the ball down there to me in the post because now they seeing I'm comfortable and confident and I put the work in to be able to make that shot. So it's like I said, finding what it is you can do, because at the end of the day, it's only about winning, man. So many mm-hmm. people, like you said, in social media, they'd be like, man, this person had 30 points. Tracy McGrady averaged 30 in 1 year, but he didn't win the championship and nobody remembers. For me, when I look at this game, man, and the way I love this game and sports in general, it's hard for the Patriots to win as much as they win. It's hard for the Spurs to always be a good team. You see so many programs across the city that might have 3, maybe 4, even 5-year run, but then they going to start to dwindle off. One thing I'm going to say about Simeon, man, and what I love about it is people give us a lot of credit for our teams.
Mm-hmm.
But my freshman year, the team that was before us, that was varsity, they came number 3 in the state. You know, they finished number 3. They lost in the city championship. They had 2 guys make it to All-State. They had the Illinois player of the year in Calvin Brock. You know, so you just look at all these instances where it's like, damn, why are these teams successful? And you just look at it, it's the same recipe.
All right, so Election Day is coming soon. And even though this is a presidential election, there are many more candidates on the ballot besides the president. And not only do we want you all to get out there and vote, but we also want you to know who you're voting for.
Go to Ballot Ready for a nonpartisan guide to your entire ballot. From there, you can compare candidates based on stances on issues, biography, or endorsements. And then save your choices to use when you vote by mail or in the voting booth. You can even request your absentee ballot or make a plan to vote early on Election Day.
As you all know, this election matters. Make sure that you have a plan to vote and vote informed.
Who you supposed to be, contribute in the ways you supposed to contribute, and y'all going to always have a chance to be successful. Simeon mm-hmm. has been able to do that. I mean, 84 was our last state championship before Oz, and we've been good from 84.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? That ain't no easy thing to do.
So, right.
I mean, you spoke a little bit about Simeon helping you to develop, you know, your leadership skills and you becoming a leader there. You know, how important is it to have that vocal leader or have that presence on the team?
Yeah. I think they used to call it like you, the extension of the coach. They used to say it was like the point guards, but they want the point guards to be vocal in that mm-hmm. sense. I was the type, and I'm just going to be honest with you. It was 2 things that I love to do. two things that I love to get my opinion out to people. Like, that's why I speak on things that's going on in the city so much, because I love getting my opinion out to people because I want to have conversations. So one of the reasons why I always spoke and was vocal the way that I was at Simeon is because I seen that people reacted to it. Like, when I spoke up, I seen my teammates listen. When I spoke up, I seen the coaches gave me the ability to speak when I needed to speak. So it's like, damn, I must be doing something right. Mm-hmm. Me and my teammates aren't taking it as if I'm coming at them in a negative way. They like, I hear you, bro. I got you.
Yep.
You know what I mean? So to be able to be in an environment where people respect you like that on the court, and then that same thing was when we was off the court.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think we should do this. It might be time for us to get up out of here.
Yeah.
All right, bro, we gone. This, all right, you don't want to do this. And even when Derek made it to the NBA, we would go out, we would go do things around the city. But he always entrusted, like, when I said, gee, it might be time for us to move around, he was like, all right, cool. And he the one who put us all in this position. He's the one with this you know what I mean? Like, he is who he is.
Mm-hmm.
But he's willing to say, you know what, I trust you because I've seen, you know, your leadership abilities over the years, and you haven't led me or our friends or the people around you astray.
Mm-hmm.
That's one side of it. Then the other side of it, bro, is I'm a leader for my family. I got six brothers and sisters.
Mm-hmm.
None of our fathers was around. Mine getting killed in sixth grade. It's just been me and my OG. So I've always had a role that I walk in today, and I walked in when I was on the court. So, I mean, it's just a natural thing for me, to be honest.
Mm-hmm. And, you know, we were talking about Simeon. So what was your favorite, you know, Simeon memory?
My favorite Simeon memory, bro, was Dexter Williams. I don't know if a lot of people don't even ever heard about Dexter Williams. He was our point guard my junior year, our first state championship team. And Dexter Williams in the state playoffs, he held Sharon Collins, Patrick Beverly, John Shire, and it was another guy from like Peoria Richwood. He held all of these guys under their scoring marks to the state tournament. So we really won a state championship because of, bro, like, he held Pat Beverly under 30. He held Sharon Collins. So he was like an unsung hero on our team. But my favorite memory also, you know, goes to him, because we were so excited. We get back to the school. Dex is late. He not in the school for the, you know, you do the parade, the assembly, again, going back to that family atmosphere and why I love Simeon so much, is Dex got there. All of the guys that's been supporting us all year, they like lifted Dex up across the auditorium to where we was, to the stage. And it was just like crazy to me to see that as a kid, to see other kids respond to that and how they did them. And that was probably, out of all the winning and stuff, that was probably like one of my favorite moments, because it was just like we was able to be one of the guys, just a regular student, having fun with everybody. That was probably one of my most memorable moments.
Yeah.
That's dope. That's dope.
Yeah.
So for the recruiting process, I know that you ultimately signed with Coach Jeter at UWM. That's the same coach that I ended up signing with my senior year. What was that process like for you, and why did you choose University of Wisconsin-Milwaukee?
I don't have a lot of, like, regrets, and I don't have necessarily regret about Wisconsin-Milwaukee, but I have a regret on the fact that I didn't have a coalition of people around me that was able to help me kind of I was doing everything on my own. I was 18 years old, but I was making a grown man's decision by myself, right? So I went to Wisconsin-Milwaukee out of fear. I was scared to leave my mom, thinking that they wasn't going to be able to stand on their own 2 feet, scared to leave my brothers and sisters. The night before, we had a press conference. A lot of people don't even know this, man. The night before our press conference to announce where we was going to school, I get a phone call. I remember it. I'm walking from Murray Park. I'm walking to Marshfield for my homie Bun Bun. I used to live with my homie Bun Bun. And Tim Floyd called me. Tim Floyd at the time was the head coach of University of Southern California. Mm-hmm. Used to be the coach of the Bulls. Mm-hmm. Man, I've been talking to O.J. Mayo, because O.J. was going there. He was like, I've asked O.J. Mayo, who are the players that he want to play with? And he was like, O.J. named you first. He was like, I want to offer you a scholarship right now. O.J. Mayo wants you to come here.
That's huge.
I had Rutgers. I had Temple. I had Old Dominion. Crazy. Locally, not a lot of schools offer me locally. Mm-hmm. But I had those schools, and two things, that USC situation, I had already committed verbally to Wisconsin-Milwaukee. So I'm bad on loyalty at times. So I'm like, damn, I can't do that like that. Because I told the coaches, everybody else don't know, but I told the coaches, I gave them my word.
Right.
So that was one side of it. And the second side of it, bro, is just like, I like telling my story because it's like a lot of crazy stuff. I went to a visit to Temple, enjoyed it. I thought I was going to go to the University of Temple. And the day that I came home, I was supposed to like sit down and talk to my grandmother and my mom about it. But bro, I get home, my OG got a black eye. It's crazy. So she get into it while I'm gone with some dude, with a dude on my block. So as soon as I get off the plane and get home, I see this, I go fight buddy, right? I go fight him. But that whole conversation about needing or wanting to go to Temple went out of my mind. And I was just like, no, I can't leave my family.
Right.
So my regrets come from that, bro, is wishing that I had that environment, that village around me that was going to be able to say, no, you can be strong. Your mom and I'm going to be good. Like, she grown, she going to figure it out. Or, you know, I know this happened, but you still need to keep your eye on the prize. Wisconsin, Milwaukee, I learned a lot, you know, but that wasn't the right place for me to go at that time. I needed to get away. You know what I mean? Luckily, thankfully, God willing that despite everything I experienced and all that with college, that he still groomed me to be who he want me to be today. So that's what I take, you know, I take more from that than anything. Like, I'm just thankful that that didn't, you know, because we know how it go. Guys go to schools, it don't work out. They come home and everything fall apart.
Yep, exactly.
Man.
I'm thankful that, you know, no lie, though. Like, I know how blessed I am, though. And the fact that that didn't happen, obviously, Derek making it meant a lot to that. But I also, you know, he ain't have to do what he did. You know what I mean? It obviously spoke volumes to who I was to him. For him to be able to take me with him. But then I also felt the other side of it, Jaren. You know, after a few years, I came back and started coaching because it was in my heart to help people. So I'm thankful for that, though.
That's what I was going to say. That's why I love, you know, that you actually hands-on now, you know, with helping the next generation, next few generations.
Yeah.
But I was going to ask along with that, you know, now that you've been through the whole student-athlete process, the recruiting process, what do you have any specific advice for students that's going through that recruitment process and trying to figure out where they should go?
Yeah, take your time. Talk to your people. Talk to them again. Talk to them again. Well, I know sometimes we fall in love with the prettiest thing on the other side of the fence, you know, but sometimes that ain't the best thing. And if it is, you need to make sure that you dotted all your I's and crossed all your T's. You asked all the questions. For me at the time, I didn't ask, man, what type of offense we going to be playing. So we get there and I'm playing a swing offense. I'm an undersized big. I'm not a shooter. So that they offense didn't even fit my game. And I started, you know what I mean? But they didn't fit my game. So when for kids, when you're going through that process, man, make sure you take care of everything you're supposed to take care of during your 4 years of high school academically so that you can even be in a position to accept the opportunities that's in front of you.
Definitely.
And then when you start getting those people calling you, understand that it should be a business on both sides.
Absolutely.
And by being a business, you have to handle it as a business. I have to go sit down with my family and I have to present everything this coach is telling me to my family so we can have a direct and full understanding of what it is they looking for me, what it is I want from them. You know, so take your time, ask questions, talk to your family, have multiple conversations with your family or your support system. And when you make a decision, be okay with it. Like, I'm okay with the decision I made at Wisconsin, Milwaukee. It didn't work out, but I made it. Be okay with it and try your hardest to fight through it. You don't educate them to what it is when they leave high school. This is a business, man. When you leave high school, basketball is a business. And I hate that it's that way, but that's the nature of the beast. A college coach can't have you come there and you not doing what you're supposed to do because he got to feed his family.
Exactly.
So it's like, who I'm going to choose? This kid, because he might be nice, or I might like him, or I'm going to choose my family. They're going to choose family 100%.
Every time.
We just got to make sure we go into it with that right mindset. Like, I got to do what I got to do for me and mine.
Exactly.
That, you're going to go bust your ass every day. If you looking at it like that, you're going to go in there and work as hard as you can, because I'm doing for me and mine, and he doing for him and his.
Exactly. I mean, like you said, that's just so important, man. Like, us being able to, you know, experience that and try to help, you know, guide the next generation, you know what I'm saying? With our whole mission with this podcast anyway. So, yeah. Man, like, make sure y'all listen up to Tim, man. He dropping some gem. But, you know, before transferring to Morgan Park, you know, we won a city championship my freshman year together with, you know, with you on the coaching staff. I think we were undefeated too. I think, you know, we had some great memories as well. So that's something I'll never forget, man.
I didn't want you, you know. I think I had a conversation with you and your OG.
Yeah.
And I told, like, man, you know, that's my man regardless. I want him to do what he's supposed to do for himself and be happy. It wasn't about you being – for me, it ain't about Simeon or this place or that place. Like, this – I knew you seen early on this was something that you loved.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, if this is something somebody love and you can help them continue to love it and help them push their passion for it, we supposed to. And what I'll say about you, bro, is what you never complained, though, outwardly.
Yeah.
You never complained. You came in and did what you were supposed to do. You came in and played the role that they asked you to play. And even despite some of the people that tried to break you down, bro, you were still able to accomplish a lot of great things. So that speaks a lot of values to who you are, though, and who your family and your support system is, though, for real.
Yeah, man. Appreciate it, Tim. Let's transition, you know, to the work you're doing in the community. Because I honestly feel like, you know, you're doing so much for Chicago, man, and it doesn't get highlighted, which I know, you know, you're not doing it for that reason. But for the listeners that don't know, can you talk about, you know, some of the things, you know, that you're working on around the city and, you know, how you're continuing to change and save lives?
Yeah. So, bro, we were some years back, man, I was like in the hills, living in LA for the summer with Derek, all this. I think it was like 2012, 2011 or something. But we had like six guys from my neighborhood, you know, like who got killed. And for me, like, I wasn't a person that always had, like, a stable home situation. So these people that were being killed was from families who fed me, who I lived with, who my mom lived with, who helped my mom pay bills, you know. And these people were getting killed, and I just was like, man, damn, like, how do you feel good about yourself? Because you living a good life, you going out and partying, but everybody in your community is struggling and people is dying. So that kind of, like, energized me to at least say, you know what, you got to get out here and see what's going on so you can have a better understanding of it. And over the years, don't get me wrong, like, I've done book bag drives, I've fed people, I've did all those things in the past, but now more so than anything, like I was saying earlier, is I'm on a mission to try to get our coaches to try to utilize. We the most powerful and influential community in the city of Chicago, the basketball community. You know, and if you look back historically, like, people say, like, your leader shouldn't be your athletes, but it's like that don't make sense. Mm-hmm. If you look back at the 1960s and then the 1970s, I read this book, $40 Million Slaves, and in $40 Million Slaves, they were saying, like, what happened in our community was, back then, if an African-American athlete went to Syracuse and he was from Cleveland, Ohio, he would come back to Cleveland, Ohio, and he would talk to the next guy that's coming out, and he would inform him on what the world is and what his responsibility is to his community and all those things. And we've fallen away from that tremendously. And I don't put that on my shoulders. I put it on the shoulders of those before me, you know, before my generation. But at the same time, it's like, if nobody speaks on it, if nobody tries, at least tries, bro, if nobody tries, we're going to continue to have kids dying. We're going to continue to be in the situation that we are. I don't know if y'all saw it to end it. You know, because of what's been going on in the city, I'm telling people, you know, like, I get it. A lot of our kids are doing a lot of messed up things. I don't want no kids and no babies being killed. I don't want my young men going to jail. But you also got to attribute it to the environment that they coming from. You know, the environment that most of us come from is so messed up. All of us ain't going to Simeon to hoop. So if you're not hooping that Simeon, it's tough. You a regular kid, it's tough. If you're not hooping that MP, if you're not hooping that Bogan, if you're not a hooper, it's tough for you as a regular everyday kid. And I just don't think that we give enough credit to that. We just try to act like our kids are animals and savages. And I was bad as hell when I was young. I fought all the time. Rob kicked me off the team so many times. But it wasn't because I wasn't a good guy. It was because in my community was taught, like, bro, on the other side of Ashland, ain't one of the guys. You got to be ready. Knock it out. That's a messed up mindset that we have, because it teaches me that the people that look like me aren't the same and aren't going through the same things that I am. So I'm just trying to break that, bro. I'm trying to break that stigma, no matter if you're from the west side or the east side. Like, let's come together and find out, because I don't have all the answers. I know I'm knowledgeable. I have some thoughts towards it, but who's to say my thoughts and my knowledge is right? Right. It might be a conversation like this with y'all that I'm going to be able to learn something about what's going on in our community that's going to give me a better understanding. But if we don't have this conversation, if we don't create those narratives and we don't create those opportunities to dialogue, we'll never be able to help our kids and we'll never have them conversations.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
And like, oh, go ahead, Bryce.
I was going to say, I mean, we're putting together a foundation right now.
Yeah.
I mean, once we get that going, if there's any way that we can help, we definitely, you know, that's what it's for. We're trying to find a way to reach back and help. So,
yeah. Bro, y'all the leaders we need, though.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, yeah. They went away from it, you know, like when now, maybe even when I was a little younger, you know, people used to be like, man, you're going to be the next president. You can be that. Coach Alderson, Marcus Alderson, from Simeon, he used to always tell me, like, man, you could be the mayor of the city one day. He used to always say that when I was young. And I didn't understand. It used to go over my head. But it's just that, like, speak power into me. Like, bro, that foundation that y'all going to do or y'all are getting ready to do, y'all going to be able to touch so many people. And that's all it's about, bro, because I can't work with 1 million people. I might be only a touch 25, but if y'all touch 25, I touch 25. McKinley Nelson touched 25.
Exactly.
These people, now we got 100 kids that now it's a trickle-down effect. Mm-hmm. Those 100 people that we touch, we saying, okay, take this information, take this knowledge, take these gifts we've given you and go back into your community, into your schools.
Yep. So absolutely.
Y'all are the generation, bro, that we need, man. Y'all are the ones, man, for real.
Yep. Appreciate that. And I was listening to Michelle Obama podcast too, and she mentioned something about that. Like, most of the times we think that it's one group or it's two groups, but now if everybody contribute together, now we look how many more people we impacting, you know, similar to exactly what you said. So like that's the whole point, you know. And with our foundation, we just want to help, you know, student athletes just be able to learn more about the careers that's out there. Like you said, for us it's like, what if we don't make it, it's the end of the world or the city, you know, we got that dark cloud over us. But it's like, nah, man, you can still impact sports and be around the game and don't have to play. So
I love J. Cole. Like, that's everybody that know me. Like, J. Cole is my favorite everyday, all day artist. That's who I listen to. A few years ago, I was privileged, bro. I was able to go to, he did a documentary showing for Forest Hill Drive here in Chicago. It was up north. And why what you just said is so important, bro, is because before they show, before the documentary, they let it be known. Like, man, everybody you see, the film guy, the audio guy, the makeup person, the stylist, these are my people. Mm. You know what I mean? Like, these are all people that was music people also, but it didn't work out for them. So now they learned how to go and do all of these different things. So now we can employ each other.
Mm. Yep.
You know what I mean? Like, mm-hmm. it don't have to be, yeah, you might not make it and be the NBA guy, but it's up to me. You might make it to be the NBA guy. It's up to me to go into the community and say, man, we need this over here. It's opportunities to go over here and buy real estate. Now, mm-hmm. I just come to you, but going to my guys and saying, bro, we can go over here and buy these properties up. And before we get out, that's another thing I want y'all to be looking at and thinking that, man, our city is for sale, bro. Like, our city, especially our communities. I'm looking to buy a building right now. You got Woodlawn Builders are $600,000. But you look at Inglewood right now, they steal $150,000, $100,000. Four or 5 years from now, those buildings, those properties are going to be going up because they're putting everything over there. I'm encouraging people. Let's get out there and let's really, like, go buy properties. When I ain't saying live there. I can't go live in Inglewood. I got two kids. It's not where it need to be right now. But what I can do is I can become an owner over there so I can hold my alderman, the police, and people like that accountable. Mm-hmm. So it's important that we find ways that we can contribute in ways outside of basketball or whatever it is that we do.
Yeah.
Before we go, is there a mantra or a quote that you live by and want to share with the listeners?
Sankofa bird. Hope y'all get a chance, look it up, man. It's a bird in Africa, bro. I learned it in $40 Million Slaves, too, in the book. It's a bird that's kind of similar to an owl. It can turn its head all the way around. It can walk forward, but it can be looking backwards. Mm-hmm. And in Africa, what that symbolizes is that you don't know where you're going until you know where you've been. Mm-hmm. Right? So for me, I know where I've been. I know what I've been through. So I know that God has always kept me. I know that he's always been a foundation of my life, the guiding source of my life. So I know that if I continue to try to do the things that I've always done that put me in the position I am today, then I know there's going to be nothing but greater things coming for me in the future. So always know where you're going. I mean, where you've been so you know where you're going. That's my motto.
Gotcha.
Absolutely. Thanks, Tim, man. Once again, it was fun having you know on the show, man. Thanks again for coming, man.
Man, love. Appreciate y'all, bro.
Yep.